class about preparing ourselves to deal with errors or misunderstandings, claims our neighbors may make, our friends may make. And folks, these may be some things that we may even wrestle with in our understanding about what God intends for us to know about Him. So we're moving to category four. Remember, we're just organizing these categories to help us be ready to respond to folks. Our preparation and organization is just a means for us to be prepared, that we've practiced and organized our thoughts, that we can respond to folks. We may hear an error and it catch us off guard and put us on our heels. And, I haven't heard it phrased that way before. I haven't heard that idea before. So if we practice hearing how positions, their claims can be made, we can be ready to respond to with God's word towards those claims. OK, so let's look at the first one. You must believe that God still works miracles today, as during Bible times, as during Bible times. Someone makes this claim to you. You're in a conversation. You mean you don't believe God still works the miracles He worked in the Bible today? Another way this may be formulated: God still intervenes in the lives of men as He did during Bible times. His providence continues the same way it did during Bible times. He still demonstrates His miraculous power the way He did during Bible times. Anyone want to offer a response, how they would respond to that? Remember, this is a workshop. If you have a verse ready to present to that error, I have some thoughts I can present on that too, but I want to give everyone an option to respond to that. Yes, Keith? Right.
The miracles are to confirm what He's teaching.
Good.
Then John 20:30-31 talks about these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is Christ.
Good.
But these miracles are written for that purpose. And so if a miracle is for the purpose of confirming the teaching, and that's what John 20:30-31 talks about, and we see with the example, and we no longer need the miracles because we have the inspired word.
Right. These things are written in John 20:30-31. Got that up? These have been written, and here's why. Here's the types of phrases we're going to see so often in these, in descriptions about miracles. So that, that's why you may believe. That we can believe the message, the word. That's why they're done. Great point. And then, the paralytic. I like the best phrase of there. Which is easier? Which is easier, to heal someone or say they're forgiven? He confirms He can forgive them by proving He has that power through a miracle. Right? Good. Yeah. You've gone to the point of what were miracles for? Right. So it loaded in this question is the idea of during Bible times. Someone makes the claim God still performs miracles as during Bible times. The implicit understanding there is this person who's making this claim is referencing the Bible. OK, he's referencing God's word, making up the idea of what a miracle is, or where did they get the idea of what a miracle is? Evidently through the Bible. So then we want to give attention to the Bible to find out, is that true? This claim about what miracles are. The Bible informs us what miracles are. So now we have an idea what this person means. Miracles from Bible times are still done today. What does that mean we need to do? We need to look at the Bible to find out what miracles are being talked about here. What miracles are being referenced? Start with someone who's blank, who doesn't know about the Bible. And you say, miracles are still performed today as during Bible times. The person says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what's in the Bible about miracles. So then you say, well, let me show you what miracles are in the Bible. The point is to look at God's word, right? Michael Riddle, you know, when he came and talked to us for a week, I don't know if y'all caught his phrase he repeated over and over and over again. So we look to God's word. So we turn to God's word. That's something that we're trying to give attention to this morning. Turning to God's word, looking to God's word. So let's look to God's word. Let's look at the idea of where we even get idea of biblical miracles in the first place. Let's go to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis 6. Genesis 6:13. Genesis 6:13. Then God said to them, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Verse 17. Behold, I, even I, am bringing the flood of water upon the earth. Two. Why? Why this miracle of water? To destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on earth shall perish. And we're answering, as we're going to look at miracles, we're going to say, when did it happen? Why did it happen? For what reason? Who does this miracle? Is it time stamped? Is it person stamped? Place stamped? Is it for that specific time, specific place? Or do we have a clue that this miracle will continue? So let's look at, so the flood happens, right? We know how the flood happens. The whole world was corrupt. God intended to save Noah and, you know, eight people. Told him to build the ark. Survives this catastrophe, this worldwide flood. And we go to Genesis 9. We're looking at the resolution of this miracle, right? Genesis 9, 13 through 16, if you want to turn there. Remember, this person is making the claim, miracles still happen like they did in Bible times. So we're looking at the miracles now. Okay, friend, miracles still happen in Bible times. Let's look at the miracles of the Bible. Genesis 9, 13 through 16. Lord says, I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow will be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And never again shall the water become a flood to destroy flesh. When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. Remember, the claim is that miracles in Bible times can still happen today. I would ask a friend, and this miracle still happen today? Does God give any indication that the miracle of worldwide destruction by flood will still happen today? He says, never again shall the water destroy all flesh. So he timestamps it. The Lord timestamps this one, says, never again shall this happen. Also, another thing is happening here. He timestamps something to go on perpetually. And we see it. Remember, two Wednesday nights ago, Keith was reflecting on the idea of a rainbow. You had seen one recently, right? And we see one, especially with all this rain that's been happening. We still see this promise. God specified it will be an everlasting covenant, this bow, as a reminder. So we have two timestamps here. One, never again, worldwide destruction by flood water. Another timestamp saying this will go on perpetually. And look, we all still see it today, the bow. So then, let's say we're explaining, we look at this this miracle with a friend, and we're pointing this out to them. And they said, well, I didn't mean that flood miracle. I'm meaning other biblical miracles. Okay. Y'all ready? Let's look at the miracles of the Bible. Oh, yes, ma'am. Excellent. I certainly want to talk about 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, because, again, that's answering the question. When were they? What were they for? Who does them? And are they time stamped? Sure. Right. And we will look to answer the question about apostles. We would look, who is an apostle? How does someone become an apostle? What does the Bible say about who becomes an apostle? What can an apostle do? Are there timestamps? Friends, 1 Corinthians 12. And then 1 Corinthians 13. 8 through 13. 28. Got that one, Rocky? There we go. Yes, Christina. It's for a sign. We hear why what it's for there. These are the questions we want to answer when we look at miracles. What were they for? It was for a sign. Friends, let's look at the miracles of the Bible. Remember this claim. Let's focus on this particular claim for a sec. This claim is that the miracles of the Bible will continue today. I think you're already jumping to the folks are not going to be pointing to the miracles of the Old Testament. But let's look at miracles. We do not know what miracles are, according to the Bible, unless we look at the Bible. Rocky, do you mind pulling up the list of miracles? Have a list of miracles. I think it'll be a good exercise for us to run through the miracles, so that we are familiar with the types of miracles that took place in the Bible. Let's remove the mystery. We all believe that miracles took place. We believe the Bible is true. Let's look at what the Bible tells us, what miracles were done, who did them, what were they for, were they time stamped, were they place stamped, were they person stamped, is there any indication that these are meant to continue? Okay, all eyes up on the projector. We're going to spend the next maybe 10 minutes looking at each miracle of the Bible. Okay, this is going to be a review for us. Good Bible students, we love God's Word. Let's dedicate some time to looking at these miracles. And it will refresh your memory. I imagine you'll also be very encouraged to remember what all the Lord has done and His power. Miracle of creation recorded in Genesis 1. When was that? What was it for? Is it reproducible? Do we see it being reproduced? Enoch's translation, or Enoch being taken up into heaven. Who was that for? When was that done? Is there anything in that miracle story about it being perpetual or it being meant for other people to receive too in that story? The worldwide flood, we just looked at that. We see it's time stamped. It will never happen again. The bow, he did specify that will continue. Confusion of languages at Babel. Where? At Babel. Okay, specified a place, specified a people, specified an event that was done at that time. The Sodomites blinded. Why? A particular place was the whole world. The Sodomites. And then the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. Lot's wife turned into pillar. Other folks are going to be turning into pillars of salt. This miracle. The claim is. The miracles of the Bible will continue to today. This miracle, do we have an indication in this story that other people today are going to be turning into pillars of salt? The conception of Isaac by Sarah in her elder age. Jacob's latter dream. Who has the dream? Jacob. Anything in there about someone else having dreams? Would we have to read into that story? If Jacob had a dream, therefore I can have a dream. Do we have that permission to add concepts, add claims to the word, or do we just read the word for what it says? Jacob had that dream. Joseph, able to interpret dreams. And we find out why Joseph was interpreting dreams. God's power could be shown. Joseph could rise in position to save those nations. Those nations. Nothing in there about this will be a pattern to continue to follow on till the end of time. Moving the book of Exodus, the burning bush that Moses saw when he received instruction from God. Who saw it? Everybody? Anybody who came by? It was specified for Moses at that time to get him to pay attention. Moses Raj changed into a sermon. I want to look at this passage real quick. Exodus 4. This goes along with what Keith was saying. What they were for. What these miracles are for. Exodus 4. That they may believe. Why? Why were the miracles done? Just for the sake of turning it into a serpent because we need more snakes? We can't make up that reason. He says why? That they may believe. Just like at the end of John. So that you may believe. So that they may believe. We see why. We see who. We see where. We see timestamps about all these miracles. Let's keep going. Do y'all mind if we keep going through these miracles? Moses Raj changed it to a sermon. Whose hand made leprous? Anyone who is disobedient to God? Moses' hand made leprous. Moses wasn't being disobedient there. It was meant for a sign, but. All right. Aaron's rod changed into a serpent. The plagues. Why the plagues? Are these plagues meant for any other nation that goes to peril? Do we see that happening in any of the other nations having these types of plagues come on them? The river turning into blood, frogs, gnats, flies, livestock disease, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, firstborn destroyed in Egypt. Should other nations be afraid? If they are non-compliant with God, that their firstborn children may die today? Is that what someone who says the miracles of the Bible, you must believe that they will still happen today? This miracle? We're going one by one through each miracle and seeing they're meant for a time, they're meant for a place, they're meant for a purpose, they're meant for a people, they're meant for a reason. For us to write in more reasons to those. We're not in that position. We are not the author of the story. The pillar of cloud and fire, crossing the Red Sea, bitter water sweetened, manna, water coming from the rock, Amalek defeated. This is one where Moses, if he lifted up his hand, the Israelites would win. If his hand would go down, the other army would win. And so they lifted up Moses' hand and they had to put a rock under his hand so he could stay up. Are we thinking that our generals need that today? Would we put a rock under a general's hand today to get him to stand up because God is going to work a miracle through that? This claim is that the miracles of the Bible are reproducible and recurrent today. Do we see that? Is that what this passage is calling us to come to conclusion about? Let's keep going through these miracles. Fire on Aaron's sacrifice. Book of Leviticus now. Nadab and Abihu burned. All right, so Nadab and Abihu burned because of their sin. Anyone in here in this room sinned and not been burnt? Would you expect to be burnt to death by your sin now? Is that the conclusion we're supposed to draw from Nadab and Abihu, that this sort of consequence persists? Let's keep going. Lord's fire response to Israel's complaining. We're wandering the wilderness now, right? Miriam shamed with leprosy. Should you expect leprosy if you've done something shameful? The earth opens and swallows Korah and company. Y'all remember these stories? Y'all remember these miracle stories? Let's keep going then. 250 men consumed by fire at Kadesh. Miracle. Does it sound positive? Does it sound like healing here? Does it sound like anyone's getting wealthy off of this miracle? These are 250 people burned, people being swallowed up by the earth. Aaron's rod blossoming. Water from the rock in Kadesh. Brazen serpent. This is the one where folks look at the serpent in their heel when they've been bit by a serpent. Balaam's donkey speaking in human voice. Are you going to look at a donkey after seeing the story and expect to hear your donkey talking to you because you read this? Is that what you're called? Is that the conclusion you're called to arrive at by reading the story about the donkey speaking? Or what? Who was that donkey talking to and why? The book of Joshua, the Jordan River. Here we have another water division. The fall of Jericho. Should we expect to march around a fortress and have it fall down today? Is that the conclusion you're supposed to draw from reading the wall of Jericho falling? The sun and the moon standing still during a prayer or because of Joshua's appeal. The story about Gideon's fleece, the water soaking the ground, but leaving the fleece dry. And then the fleece getting wet and then the ground remaining dry. Remember these stories? The angel in flame, the lion slain by Samson, 30 Philistines killed by Samson, drinking water from a hollow place, the city gates carried away by Samson, Dagon's house pulled when Samson pulled those pillars down. Samson's hands against the wall, praise to God. And he said, just this once, and ask for the strength to push the pillars down. It's time stamped. It's this once. And he pushes the pillars down. But should we expect that? Should we expect powers to push pillars down when we pray fervently? Is that what the conclusion you're called to arrive at? Do you have to add to the word, and thus anyone else who has this fervent prayer can also gain the strength? Is that verse in there? That anyone else who has a prayer like Samson will also gain the strength to knock down pillars? It's not in there. We can't just willy-nilly add ideas to the Bible like that. The book of 1st, 2nd Samuel, the birth of Samuel and Hannah, you know, seeking to have Samuel born. Dagon's fall before the ark, disease affects the Philistines, men of Beth Shemeth destroyed, supernatural thunder at Ebenezer, thunder and rain during harvest time, Uzzah struck dead for irreverence. Jeroboam's hand withered. We're going to go through these just so we can have covered them. As far as I know, this is covering nearly all of the miraculous stories in the Bible. Let's keep going, okay? Give attention to these miracles so they can jog your memory. Jeroboam's hand withered and restored. Destruction of the pagan altar in Bethel. Drought ordered by Elijah. Elijah fed by ravens, looking for ravens to bring you food. This person is claiming the miracles of the Bible will occur today. Are we looking for ravens to feed us like Elijah? Do we have that? Do we have reason to believe that will happen? The widow's oil and meal supernaturally increased. Widow's son raised from the dead. Sacrifice consumed by fire. Rain in answer to prayer. Captains destroyed by Elijah's command of fire. Jordan River divided by Elijah. Another water splitting. The Jordan River divided by Elijah's mantle. Elijah, translator, taken to heaven in a chariot of fire. These are the type of miracles that happen in the Bible. The waters of Jericho healed. Young mockers of Elisha torn by bears. Water supernaturally supplied for Jehoshaphat. Widow's oil supernaturally multiplied. Shunammite son raised from the dead. Resurrections. Are we counting on bodily resurrections by coming into contact with a person or a thing or a prayer today? A bodily resurrection. Poisoned pottage made harmless. 100 fed with 20 loaves. Naaman cured of leprosy. No, are we on 76?
Yeah.
Almost done with the Old Testament. Gehazi struck with leprosy. The axe head caused to float. If anyone's ever dropped something in water, don't you wish that it would just float back up and you could get it again? But do you expect that to happen? If this claim is true, we could hope that that would happen. Because we have this evidence that it happened once, we should expect and believe that it will happen again. Or is that passage calling on, as in Genesis 6, it will be an everlasting covenant? Do we have language in these stories? These are now everlasting, perpetual covenants and events that will take place. We're covering every... Real quick. I read a little bit about how to have an effective debate. Okay? And the effective debate, there are many tactics. The one tactic that really stood out to me was to have solid evidence. To present evidence robust enough to not give room for the alternate position. In each of these cases, there is not room. There is not a clue to arrive at the conclusion that they do persist. In every one of them, they are time stamped, person stamped, place stamped, purpose stamped for that time, without the clue that they will go on perpetually. What number was that? 78. King Aram's plans revealed. These are all, I can provide y'all this list if y'all want to go through these miracles and refresh your memory on them. The resurrection. Oh, this story. They were burying the resurrection by touch with Elisha's bones. Do y'all remember this miraculous story? They were burying Elisha's dead body. A marauding band comes upon them, and they throw another man's body in with Elijah. It makes contact with his dead bones and it resurrects. He's back alive again. Are we expecting that today? This person says the miracles of the Bible will happen today. Do we gain from that story that we should expect that to happen today? Let's keep going with these miracles. Sennacherib's army destroyed by an angel. Hezekiah healed. Remember the Sennacherib army surrounded? Should we expect that sort of thing happen today? That armies just be vanquished by God without humans having to exact that response? Shadow goes back. The shadow moves back 20 degrees on a sundial. If the person is suggesting that miracles of the Bible are going to keep happening today, should we expect that the sun shifts to make different shadows? Uzziah afflicted with leprosy. Three men delivered from fiery furnace. Daniel delivered from the lion's den. The faith. Here, here's, here's maybe what's a little bit dangerous about this, and we'll talk more about this with you know, taking on snake poisoning and getting bit by snakes. Someone may say, have enough faith, friend, and you can walk through that fire. Is that what we were called to arrive at, that we can now go about walking through fire, or let other people who have a lot of faith walk into a fiery house that's on fire? There's a fireman. You don't need your gear. Go in there with all your faith, just like those three men who were saved through that furnace. Would we want to suggest that? Are we called to suggest that? Should we arrive at the conclusion that firemen should run into burning homes because of their faith and not have gear on? And then Jonah and the fish. Okay. So it's probable the person who may be suggesting that the miracles of the Bible will happen today. And you must believe that, too, that they will happen today. It's probable that they're meaning more like New Testament miracles. So let's look at New Testament miracles. After having going through these miracles, this is going to help us with the rest of this category, because there's eight categories that we're going to talk about. Now we've refreshed ourselves on the miracles of in the Bible, right? The list of miracles in the New Testament. The virgin birth of Jesus. Virgin birth. Okay? Jesus turns water into wine. Should we expect these things to keep happening today? Do we have clues in these passages that they are meant to occur again today? A royal official's son is healed at Cana. A demoniac in a synagogue is healed in Capernaum. The healing of Peter's mother-in-law, healing the sick during the evening, catching many fish in Lake Galileo, leper cleansed in Capernaum, a paralytic healed in Capernaum, a crippled man healed. And we can examine these miracles to see the impressiveness, the immediacy, the undeniable miraculous nature of these miracles. That there's no time, that didn't take days upon days for this paralytic to get up and walk, or this blind man to gradually regain his sight over the course of several treatments. It's the type, it's the extent and power of these miracles that we're saying. Are you suggesting that this occurs again today? All right, where are we at? Leper cleansed, paralytic, crippled, a withered hand restored in Galilee, centurion's servant healed in Capernaum. Number 13, but widow's son raised, a raising from the dead, calming storms by command, healing of a demon possessed man, healing a woman with the flow of blood immediately, Jairus's daughter raised from the dead, blind men cured, mute spirit cast out in Capernaum, healing of blind and mute man with a demon, feeding of 5,000, creating material out of immaterial, walking on the sea, deaf and mute man healed, mass healings, Syrophoenician daughter healed, a supernatural feeding of 4,000 men and families, transfiguration of Christ, devil cast out of a boy, tribute money found in the mouth of a fish, a blind man healed, miracles by 70, Jesus pass unseen through a crowd in the temple, a man born blind is healed. There's 40 more and we'll have made it through the Bible. Okay. A woman with an infirmity cured in Luke 13. A man with dropsy cured, recorded in Luke 14. 10 lepers cleansed in Luke 17. Lazarus raised from the dead. Bartimaeus healed of blindness. A fig tree cursed and withered. Malchus' severed ear healed. Y'all remembering these stories? You remember when you read them, learned of them, and went through these passages? And and gave them more attention than we're given now. I just want y'all to be reminded of these are the miracles in the Bible. The resurrection of Christ, Christ's ascension, catching 153 large fish, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. We'll talk more about Acts 2. We're going to talk a lot about Acts 2. A lame man cured. Ananias and Sapphira struck dead. Many sick people healed. Apostle freed from prison by angelic intervention. Stephen's miracles. Stephen's vision. Philip casting out unclean spirits. Ananias' vision. Paul's sight restored. Oh, and if y'all go through this list and y'all find more miracles you think should be included on this list, Keith?
Sorry to interrupt, but we've only got 5 minutes. But I have a couple questions since you're going through this room.
Yeah.
So just bear with me for a second. Another question. How would you define miracles? That is unbiblical.
Good question.
Good.
I'm glad. No, I'm glad you're going through that. So in several of these passages, signs, miracles, wonders, they are attributed to these works, these wonders, these miraculous events, these miraculous actions done by God or done by men. Some of them don't say the word miracle, but I want to let the Bible help us. The Bible define what miracle means. I can present a mirror. It must be seen. It needs to be clearly supernatural. We can present all sorts of, kind of Webster dictionary definitions, but in several of these passages, miracles and wonders are connected, or signs are connected with these acts. And certainly in several of these, stories, it'll say phrases like "so that," or "he did this for this purpose," or we'd have to go through each one of them.
The reason why I'm thinking is because it depends on your definition of miracle. I believe that God can perform more miracles today. He's still supernatural, and if he decided to create or do something behind the scenes that I don't know about, I do believe he has that power. But if it's for the purpose of knowing he's God, I think we have to confirm more. I'm just teaching, I believe we have the word.
Right.
That was a question.
Yeah. This list, on one hand, is meant to encourage everybody, remind everybody, and see what the miracles were. And I'm kind of placing in every one of these errors, you can place your attention or emphasis on a subset of that error. If it says we must believe, well, what do you mean by must? Must or else what? I'm putting my emphasis on the particular part of this question is what are the miracles from Bible times? Look at the Bible, see what the miracles were. And in all those lists of miracles, do any of them have the indication we should expect them to continue today? That's why we're seeing that they keep being time stamped, place stamped, person stamped, purpose stamped. So that's the reason. But we will talk more about the purpose and if some of the New Testament miracles are meant to be perpetual, and some are specified as time stamped, and then like Ms. Osbrack brought up, they will continue for a short time from that promise until the, but we have a time stamp there, so we're just bringing up the. Right now, this exercise is just run through the miracles, refresh everybody what the miracles were. And then we're considering in each one of these miracle stories. Is there a promise in there that it will go on continually, or we should expect future folks to be able to do this? God is able and willing and capable to make promises about things that will happen in the future. But if we don't see those promises listed with these miracles, we shouldn't expect. It's an extra unnecessary and maybe dangerous step to expect that they will continue if the Bible hasn't told us that they will continue. The Bible will tell us a lot of things that will continue. If it hasn't said this particular thing will continue, should we go on and expect then? Are we required, or is it, are we responsible to come to the conclusion we should expect them to continue? Okay, let's keep going. What number were we? 53. Paul's sight restored. Aeneas healed of palsy. Dorcas restored to life. Cornelius's vision. Peter's vision. Agabus's famine prophecy. Peter released from prison by angelic intervention. Paul pronounces Elymas blind. Just want to point out, here we have someone working a miracle that made someone blind. Okay? We're going to work on the ideas that miracles are meant for the purpose of healing people. Well, here we have an example of one that the guy went from a not blind state to a worser state. So miracles, just the blanket statement, they're always meant for healing people. Look at many of the ones in the Old Testament. They weren't meant to heal anybody. Rather, they brought devastation at times. And here we have an instance in the New Testament where an apostle, he pronounces Elymas blind. 61, a lame man cured, Paul's vision on the way to Damascus, a fortune teller delivered from an evil spirit. Earthquake releases Paul and Silas from prison, a gift of tongues, special miracles by Paul. This is when people would have him touch the handkerchief. Almost done. Eutychus restored to life. Paul unharmed by a viper's bite. Publius' father healed. John's vision on Patmos. And then you probably guess it, there are so many more miracles that weren't even recorded. Innumerable miracles of Christ, not recorded, but witnessed by the apostles. And I want to give attention to the bottom. This list was mostly compiled by a man named Wilfred Graves. He has a website, and he is from the, he mentions he's from the Church of God in Christ. And he welcomes the act of the Holy Spirit in his life. So if we had the opportunity to talk to William Graves, we would look at these miracles and say, friend, don't you see how in every one of these instances, they're time and place stamped, person stamped, purpose stamped. And in none of these do we have a promise that this particular miracle is going to go on and continue perpetually, except for the one that we mentioned, the bow. He did say that will go on as a forever promise. So that is a it's good for us to review those miracles, keep them fresh in our mind. I hope you were encouraged by seeing those miracles, how active God was, how much he has proven that he is trustworthy and powerful. He did that at that time, though. It's an extra step to say he needs to keep doing that to prove to us that he's powerful. Who are we to say we require a sign now to keep seeing that he's powerful, or that we need the word confirmed more to us now because we don't trust this enough? So, all right, well, we'll keep moving through this passage. I hope y'all are willing to continue to look at these errors with these ideas in mind. Have verses ready. We'll present more verses. And thank you all for being willing to go through those miracle list this morning. All right. Thank you, Mike.